was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowin' reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot de la da toot, he blows it eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump.
Had the big one on, and man, I would have got him. But he took my pole straight down to the bottom, leaving me with nothing but a big old story to tell. All here. A bad day of fishing beats a good day of anything else.
A little bad day of fishing beats anything else. Welcome back, everyone. This is your handsome but yet humble host. Great interview coming up for you. The one and only Mr. Walleye, Mr. Gary Roach. We're going to go out and visit with him in just a minute. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Have a lot of fun out there. Be careful in the woods and the waters. Let's go out and grab Mr. Walleye.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Great. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning on the show, and really looking forward to visiting with you. I know a lot of our listeners is looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Hey, you've been in this thing a while. Can you kind of give us an overview? Tell us kind of how you got started in this business, Gary.
Well, I was actually I was in the logging business after I left school and for a year or two, and then the snow got so deep in the woods up here and got to be 40 below, I joined the Navy.
Okay.
And then I got out of the Navy, met my wife on a furlough trip home, and then went back to California and married her there in Beverly, and she worked in a at the paper mill or something in Brainerd. They just put a new paper mill anyway. So we got married, and I didn't like California, so I came back. There was no fishing out there much, you know. I came back here, and then my first job was working for the county, planting Norway trees out all over the county. We hand planted them, and then I bought an old John Deere tractor, a crawler, a 1952 crawler, and then we planted with that. And my nephew actually sit in the tree planter, and I drove it all around through the woods, and we planted thousands and thousands of trees. So then, of course, winter came, and then I got a job in a gas station, Bill's Mobile, right next to where I met my wife at a corner cafe.
Yep.
And then I worked there for quite a while, got to do some pretty good mechanicing and brakes and mufflers, and then I had a car accident, hurt my back really bad. And then, so then I got out of that deal, got well enough, then I got my old little station, Deep Rock, and then from there I went to a bigger one called Texaco Station. And, then I always look up at the sky and I say, oh God, the walleye has got to be biting on pelican, you know. So I tell my helper, well, I got to go make a service call. So I go out to pelican and they didn't have a motor then. I just rode the edge of the drop off. You know, you looked on one side was light colored and then on the drop off was dark. So I just stayed right in the middle and caught walleyes and we did walleyes for dinner. But anyway, so I heard about these guys over in Nisswa, you know, having a team of walleye guys or fishing guys and guides and stuff over there. So I went over there and talked to Marv Tipp. He handed me one of them green boxes, and what you'll read in the paper there in the green boxes. And I went, I didn't have a boat or nothing. I had an old 7.5 horsepower Johnson motor, and I'd rent a boat and for $3 a day. And this lake's just full of walleyes, and it was just actually full of walleyes. And I'd fished it when I was a kid, too, you know, with the guy I worked for, the logger I worked for. We always fished it. So I went over to Mark Kipps, and he gave me a try, and that's in the story, too. So he gave me a try, and then I did so well. And then I finally bought my first boat. It was a Lund 315. I found a 18-horse motor and put on that thing. I run that thing for like 6,000 hours, that old thing just. And I won the first bass tournament ever held in Minnesota with that 315 Lund. It was a bass caster, the BCA out of Florida, and on a Lake Minnetonka, and won that with smallmouth. So that's how I started. And I still guided and worked that night, and we had a three-piece band that we played music on Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, sometimes Sundays. And I mean, my wife worked, so I had two jobs and three jobs, and she had one job, and so she had three jobs taking care of three kids too, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, so that's how we got going. And I met the Linders one night, and Al put me to work doing some shows for him, and he thought I did a pretty good job, and he put me to work, and I worked for those guys, for Lindy Little Joe, for 17 years. And then I went on my own, you might say, did promotion for Berkeley and Zebco and Fenwick and all kinds of different companies. I started doing that, and then I got put together a team of fishermen, of pro fishermen. Like, we had like 16, 17 guys in like three or four different states, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, some of my guys are all in the Hall of Fame now, so that we helped along promote. So it's quite a story, you know.
Yes, it is. It's a great story. And it's good to hear you tell it from the beginning, because there's a lot of fishermen out there. They don't realize how much time and effort you put into this to become what you've become.
Well, I'll tell you what, in those days, you know, we rented a place in Brainerd, you know, like $45 a month for a apartment. And then I just hated living in town. And so finally my wife seen an advertisement in the paper about 80 acres on by Mission Lake, and well, that's where I was born and raised, you know, on Mission Lake. And I got pictures of the old house. I mean, the old one room with a lean-to on it. And I don't know how we all looked at beds all over the place. I mean, you know, it was hardly only 80 rooms. It was just a log cabin, old Tamarack Light. It was cold. Anyway, so that's where I started. And the land was right next to where my dad had the 40 acres. So we bought that 80 acres. $300 down, contract for deed, for $2,300.
Wow.
And it was full of Christmas trees. The guy had planted all kinds of Christmas trees in there, and then, of course, we sold a lot of the Christmas trees off to pay for the land. And then we put an old trailer house there, and we lived in that for 4 years, and then we borrowed, I think it was $11,000 or something like that, and we roughed in a house, 28 to 48. And then again, it's in the story too, in the magazine story. So we just, you know, when we had enough money to buy 2x3 2x4s or whatever, we just put them up, or we put paneling on the walls and whatever, just a little at a time.
Yeah.
And that's how we did. You know, we paid off the loan and we owned the house.
That's a great story. In 1985,
yeah,
started your current company, the Walleye Specialties, and you were inducted into the National Freshwater Hall of Fame in 1988, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, we did that. You know, George Paddock from Fishing Facts, he inducted me, or he put my name in the pot, and then I did the thing at the show at Las Vegas. We had the big industry breakfast, which was pretty neat to be able to be down there and get in the Hall of Fame, you know, with all your peers all around you.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. So yeah, it's been a great life. In fact, a friend of mine used to live down in St. Louis, Jerry Krall. He was one of the good bass fishermen you guys had down there, and he actually come up and fished with us up here in Minnesota too. He's a tournament fisherman. I think he did some bass catcher stuff too. So, and he was a good old friend. He got in a car accident, got killed in a car accident. So yeah, he was a good bass guy. He had a good fisherman there too. So, but no, that's it. And then Minnesota started their deal up, and I'm doing stuff for them, and I'm doing trips for those guys to help, you know, get their thing started. And the fishing's been good. Winter time fishing's been good. But, you know, it's still going. I'm not going on about by August. I'll be 89, or 79, I mean. 79, 89. I'll only get there through fast now. So, I'm still out there cutting wood and burning wood and fishing on the ice and drilling holes and whatever. Yeah, I still feel good. You know, I had a
great
had heart surgery a couple times, you know, and had some stents put in and keeping the old tubes open. And But it's been a great life, I'll tell you that.
Very, very good story, Gary. Congratulations on your lifetime of fishing. I mean, you are known. You are Mr. Walleye for sure. And congratulations on being in Midwest Outdoors, in his own words. Great to see your story. And thank you for sharing it with us and our listeners this morning on our show.
Yeah, and you got a little more than the magazine had too.
I like that. I'll make sure I tell Mr. Strand that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Mark, did I save some for you, Gary?
That's great. Well, thank you, Gary. Have a great weekend, and thanks for being on our show, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Great weekend.